Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, out and about today, come on by, hang out with us. We got Jazz gear up for grabs. You want some of that? Come by and grab it. It's pretty simple. We don't even ask, we don't ask much.
Just come grab a piece.
Grab some gear and let's go. Live here at Larry H. Miller, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram in Riverdale. We're in O-Town. You just come on. It's just off I-15. You know where it's at. Really easy to find. Take that Riverdale exit. And you've got the hard-to-find Jeep Renegades that are here. They also have 0% APR on 72 months on select new 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokees, Dodge Durangos, Chrysler 300s. I owned a 300 back in the day.
I know you did.
One of my favorite vehicles I've ever owned. Dodge Charger, Dodge Challenger, all of those with 0%. So don't mess around. Come by and grab it. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
Did you see this Burgundy Ram Bighorn Sport? It's got about a 6-inch lift on it. It's got beautiful wheels. Gorgeous, gorgeous vehicle. Did you see this thing out here?
Yeah.
I stood there and just looked at it. It's like the hood of it is about 6 foot high, and it is big and bulky and beautiful. And you know, the Grand Cherokee right now is probably one of my favorite body styles.
Really?
In the car industry right now.
No kidding.
When you're talking about an SUV, the Jeep Grand Cherokee is, and I'm talking about the 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee, is my favorite body style on an SUV right now.
But that's a great thing about this place. Jeep, Ram, Dodge, Chrysler. You got four makes to choose from. So you're going to find something that's going to fit what you need it to do.
You got good people, too.
And good people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. A lot to get to. Brian Fisher is going to join us coming up at 2:05. Also, we got Utah in action as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. We had the Ute preview show with Mr. Dolce yesterday. I don't know what I'm going to do with Frank. I went back and listened to a little bit of the show. It got a little sideways yesterday.
It did?
Yeah.
How bad?
Well, let's say...
Was it Frank's fault or mine?
I would say... Oh, I'll put it firmly on Frank.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to blame us for it. I would say if... you know that bridge that goes into Twin Falls with the canyon?
Yeah.
We were down in the river.
Without a parachute?
No parachute.
We didn't jump
off. No bungee jump. No bouncing back. It was just... down.
So, my family and I, we've been taking those summer vacations out to Twin Falls. They're going to stick their nose up at it, but it's an amazing vacation.
You haven't driven over that canyon. It's awesome.
Little river kayaking.
Yep. You got two golf courses down in the canyon?
Yes.
Are they both – one's public, one's private, right?
Correct.
Okay.
You can kayak right up to the falls. You've got beautiful parks. It's just – anyways, we stood there for 2 hours and watched people jump off of that bridge with parachutes. And guys doing backflips, and we watched one guy. He did four complete flip rotations before he deployed his chute. And we kept looking. We're like, he needs to stop flipping. And he's got to throw his chute because he was holding on to that little, thing that they throw that grabs the whole chute. What if that doesn't pull the chute out?
It's going to get a little messy.
Do you know out of all the things in the world that I could do, that's probably on the list of the least things I'd like to do?
All right. Bungee jump off that bridge or skydive?
Bungee jump. 1,000 times. You could hook up a bungee to my legs and I'll close my eyes and jump. You put a backpack on me and you say, all right, hold on to this little chute thing and throw it when you're about 15, 16 seconds down. No way. What if that doesn't pull the chute out?
It's a little bit on my bucket list. Skydiving.
Okay.
But the problem is, so here's the thing. Like, I don't want to ride tandem with some rando, jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, but you're going to have to.
I know, and that's why I will never do it.
It's like unless being an ultimate Aggie, right? But with a parachute.
Yeah, you did that.
Well,
yeah, you did that.
No, you can do it by yourself. You don't have to have somebody there with you.
But you didn't do it by yourself, did you?
I did, yes. I was not going to, yeah. Wait a minute. I'm not confirming that I did it either.
Yeah,
I'm just saying I know how that is done.
All right.
I was on a vacation and looked into tandem skydiving, and it had a weight limit of 250 pounds.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that's keeping me out of that.
I have not been 250 pounds since I was 15. So I got down to 250 after I took all my NFL weight off.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good weight for you.
252 was very unhealthy. Coaches were looking at me, like Coach Witt, Bronco at the time, they're looking at me like, you all right? Because you're looking weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to drop that much weight and look like that so I can go.
Where's your goal weight? Like 260. 265
yeah,
around there.
260 is that's prime. Feel really good, healthy. But still, that's too heavy. And that's not one of those things that you want to fudge on.
No, no. They're like, look, your driver's license, you can fudge all day on that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably not supposed to, but.
Yeah, but
somebody
can.
Looks at my driver's license, looks at me like, oh, really? Okay.
Oh, 215.
I see how that is. What are you? Was that fifth grade for you? What was it? Okay, sure. But when they're like, hey, so you're going to jump out of this airplane. We really need you to make sure you're under 250. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where's your scale?
Absolutely.
We're doing this the right way. Where's your scale? And if I'm not 249.9, I'm still not getting – I'm not hooking myself to somebody and jumping out of a plane. Anyway.
By the way, so my youngest son, Jenny was taking him to the doctor. And anyway, he was last time he was like at like 97. Well, anyway, he broke 100. And he gets on there and he gets off 100 and he flexes. He's like, all muscle, baby. Which
with the nurses.
Seat at the table.
Which, I love you, dog, but that's not true.
He flexed him out, though?
Yeah.
Atta boy.
He was so proud that he broke 100 lbs.
I don't know what, like, I don't know what you got on your hands with that young man, but you got something.
Oh, yeah. Almost.
Flexes out. That's the best.
All right, so Utah taking on Oregon State.
Okay, so you saw the video I tweeted
yes,
out?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we talked about Washington State being on the receiving end of that punishment. On the giving end of that punishment is a guy, he's number five. His last name's Fenwick. He's one of two running backs that they rotate in and out with Oregon State. And as I told you, Scotty, he is the downhill slot runner. So a couple of things about Oregon State. They're not a true gap running offense. They love to just run it, spread it. The gaps will open up, and then they'll have a running back that cuts back and hits the lane. That's Baylor. That's number four. He wears number four, last name Baylor. He waits, and he's very patient, and then he'll cut back or he'll cut into a lane. Fenwick, number five, in that play that I tweeted out, mm-hmm. You can see it at 975 Hans. That guy is, where's my lane? That's where I'm going. He just doesn't do a lot of cutback, but he will punish you, and he's going to get you 4 yards. So Oregon State is a huge challenge for the University of Utah when it comes to playing physical defense, and that's why in the Utah preview show, we were talking about maybe implementing another linebacker and using Karini Reed, who Karini Reed, I think, is, well, I don't know. Sewell's really good at it. Devin Lloyd's better at it. As far as taking on a block and getting in a run lane, he's right up there with the best of them.
Which is hard to believe that, I mean, we're talking about a dude that's a freshman.
Yeah.
That's just a biscuit toss off a mission.
Correct. And he can fill a gap, and he's impressive. He's got the instincts, man. He comes from that Reed family. And they are beautiful football players. That is one of the best football families I've ever been on the field with.
Yeah. That's good. It's good stock for sure.
Yeah, that's good stock. And so I'm finding a way, if I can, to use him. Because Oregon State, it's not like Oregon State, Scotty, can come into this game and be like, all right, well, we got this quarterback, Chance Nolan, and we've got Ocho Cinco, and we got Quiz Rogers, and we're just going to run and gun this thing. We're going to chuck it up. They don't have that. Chance Nolan, their quarterback, that's not his world. He doesn't have that capabilities. And I believe that Utah really can man up. And not to completely disrespect the pass, but kind of disrespect the pass and say, we're not going to let you go over 200 yards on us. And I've got a real problem with this. If Oregon State wins this game and they've got 280 yards and three scoring touchdowns on the ground, I got a problem with it. I've got a problem with it. At that point, it's like, okay, I know you've got the dogs. I know that you've lost Vianney Mala, and I know that you've got some defensive line health issues. But you've got the Pututau brothers that are big, heavy bodies. You've got Devin Kafusi that's a very big, very healthy body. You've got a couple of young guys that can control on the ends, and then you got Mika Tafua. So give me
should be more than enough.
Yes, give me
that should be more than enough.
Give me three linebackers behind him. Give me four of the six guys that I just mentioned to you, and go out there and stop the run. Now, come out of this game, and it's 160 yards rushing, and they lost with 280 yards passing and three touchdowns through the air. I'll look at that and I'll say, well, good on Oregon State. They found a way to get the passing game going, and they got a win. But at least I could look at that and say Utah took away what we thought Oregon State had to do to win.
I don't see this as much of a game, honestly. I mean, when you list the amount of defensive players that are there to and available and should be right up the alley of being able to slow this team down, Look, I know there were some issues early on, and I know there were some struggles against San Diego State in the way they ran the ball, in the way that BYU ran the ball. But I think this team has gotten much better. I think they've settled in, and I think that Oregon State is going to have a hard time, by Oregon State standards, running the ball. I still think they'll be 150, 160, but that's all they have. I mean, this is a team that has not ran for less than 238 yards since their first game of the season. Mm-hmm. They've been breaking the deuce on every team they played outside of their first game of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't think they do that against Utah. I don't think they can get it done, and I think Utah wins this game, and I think they win it going away.
Are you feeling more confident in Utah's offense now?
Yes, 100%.
Because Oregon State, as I've mentioned, they run well, and they take away the run.
Yep.
They allow 100 yards a game on the ground.
Which don't screw around and give the ball to Tavian Thomas. I know, and Frank Dolce said it last week, and he was right, and he said it again this week, so he probably is going to be right again, that they may not go with Tavian Thomas, but...
Were you saying stop screwing around and just give it to Tavian Thomas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, you said don't screw around and give it to Tavian Thomas. And so I thought it was like you're saying don't screw around with the run. But you meant is stop screwing around, just give it to Tavian Thomas.
There you go. My bad. That's 100%.
And I 100% agree with that.
If he puts it on the turf again, okay. Then go a different direction. He's lost that opportunity. But he has played really well for you. And I'm not at practice. I don't know if he's putting it on the turf in practice, which makes Kyle a little gun-shy on giving him a bunch of reps. But he's your best running back. Give him the ball until he proves you otherwise. He's been great over the last several games. That guy seems like he's doing everything he can to hold on to that thing. He gives you your best chance at running back. He's your best run, as far as a blocking back, he's your best in terms of that. Catches the ball well. Give him the ball. Let him do his thing.
Even if he puts the ball on the floor, isn't it shown that you need him? He's what really makes that offense run.
He's very good in pass pro.
Even if he puts that ball on the carpet.
Twice. Worth two.
You know what they say.
No, what do they say?
Let's see, who was it on that play? It was Rhett Bird. Rhett Bird was the hawk in the right place at the right time. I guess that's true what they say. A bird in the hand is worth a ball on the carpet.
Thanks, Chad.
It never gets old.
Darn right it is.
Damn straight.
He wanted to.
I mean, what's the limit? Two on the carpet?
Three on the carpet?
Where do you stop?
Three in the hand, four on the carpet?
Okay. I got to ask you. At some point in your call tonight, you've got to work that in.
I can't use that one because people that don't know that cut are going to think that I'm the worst.
Lloyd, what version of
all time?
What version of that cut can we have Scotty do tonight against Utah State against Colorado State?
Well, like, are there any birds on the other on one of the teams?
If there's a fumble, Scotty has to say, "Who is that on that fumble?"
Red Bird.
No, you can't say Red Bird. That'll confuse everybody. Like, Rhett Bird was the Aggie.
In the right place at the right time.
Kevin White's going to be like, Rhett Bird, who's...
Who is Rhett Bird?
See him.
I don't see Rhett Bird on the on the roster anywhere.
Oh, man. If there's a fumble.
I can't. Okay.
You have to turn to Kevin, and at the very least, you have to say, you know what they say, Kevin? A ball on the carpet is worth a bird in the hand or something. You got to.
No, I cannot. Look, I'm willing to do a lot. That's going to show up on, like, some – awful announcing site.
Sure, what they say,
like,
a bird in the hand.
What
is
this
worth
guy doing?
Ball on the carpet. So Bird gets the on the fumble recovery.
I've not heard the extended version.
Oh, you haven't. Oh, you need to listen to the whole game. There's a lot of ideas in this for you and your call. For you and your call.
Okay, right, you want to play the whole thing one more time?
All right. Yeah, let me hear the whole thing.
Let's see, who was it on that play? It was Rhett Bird. Rhett Bird was the hawk in the right place at the right time. I guess that's true what they say. A bird in the hand is worth a ball on the carpet. So Bird gets the on the fumble recovery.
Wait a minute. So was the guy's name Rhett Bird?
Rhett Bird. Rhett Bird.
See, I thought it was like his whole last name was Rhett Bird. But apparently, first name Rhett, last name Bird, because I haven't heard that back end. He goes, and Bird with the fumble recovery.
Yeah, the kid's name was Rhett Bird.
Okay.
And by the way,
I've been hearing that cut for like years, and I had no idea that was the full name.
This is a local high school call. If Rhett Bird is out there somewhere in the universe,
please, somebody, let us talk to Rhett Bird.
And I don't know. Was that Alta game?
That was Alta. It was the Hawks.
Yeah.
It was the Hawk in the right place at the right time. Yeah. And they were playing Judge because that was a – you were carrying Judge games.
If anybody out there knows Rhett Bird, please send him our way. We would love to have a discussion with him about being the Hawk.
At the right place.
At the right place at the right time.
With a ball in the hand and on the carpet.
I don't know how you work that in, Scotty.
Yeah,
but you got to do it.
That's not happening. All right, Hans and Scotty, 131. Coming up at 205, good friend of the program, Brian Fisher, will join us. We will chat some NFL and college football with him right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Frank Dolce, Ute insider analyst for the Zone Sports Network.
As I look at this Oregon State team, clearly we know what they want to do as far as their offensive philosophy going up against Utah's defensive philosophy. And Kyle, since he came out of the womb, they asked him, hey, what do you think about life? He says, you got to stop the run.
PK, here's what we should do. We need to make up the Ten Commandments of Kyle Whittingham. And that would be...
Thou shalt stop the run.
Thou shalt not allow the run game. Yeah.
On this... Yeah, like all that. The football law and the football coaches.
Thou shalt not turn over the ball.
Thou shalt get four and a score.
I'm sure we could come up with a quality list.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hanging out up here up north. We are in Ogden on Riverdale Road. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, LHM dealership, beautiful dealership here. Whatever you need a vehicle to do, well, you got so many to choose from. This lot, a lot of people across the state of Utah having a hard time with their inventory, man. They're doing it right up here. A lot of great vehicles ready to move. You want those trucks? Boom, you're good to go. Dodge Ram, you're not messing around with those.
Have you seen these Jeeps that have a pickup bed on the back of them?
Yes,
you've seen them. They're pretty. People love them.
Yeah,
people are driving these things everywhere. They're kind of the new El Camino.
The new El Camino.
Yeah, do you remember the El Camino?
Oh, absolutely.
Back in the day,
yeah.
Car with a little truck bed on it. People loved those back in the day. So they took it and they're like, well, how can we make the Jeep better? Well, throw a truck bed on the back.
Well, let's
and they did
look
it.
At the El Camino.
Okay, Scotty, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So you got a bunch of undefeated teams right now. You got some undefeated FCS teams. Texas San Antonio is 7-0. San Diego State 6-0. SMU is 6-0. We talked about Wake Forest, an ACC team. They're 6-0. You got Michigan State at 7-0, Oklahoma State at 6-0, Michigan at 6-0. And then you got your top three teams. Oklahoma checking in at number three.
Yeah.
They're 7-0. Georgia checking in at number one. They're 7-0. And sitting right there at number two is Cincinnati. Your only group of five team in the top three. Well, your only group of five team in the top 10. There's a bunch of other undefeated group of five teams, but they've given Cincinnati a lot of love and credit because Cincinnati did it on the field. They beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And they beat Iowa to start the year, which isn't
Indiana.
Indiana to beat at the beginning of the year, which isn't turning out to be the best win or the win we thought it would be, but still it's a good win.
Yeah, and Indiana was up in that game, and Cincinnati came back and won that thing going away. And the same thing with Notre Dame. I mean, look, you go to South Bend and you beat Notre Dame, that's going to give you some a lot of love.
Yeah, and both of those obviously on the road, Indiana and Notre Dame. So Cincinnati is getting a lot of love right now. So that's your top three, as I just mentioned. Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma. And if you extend it down, then you've got Alabama that's sitting 6-1 that's sitting in that four spot. I want Scott Gerard's college football four-team playoff. Not the way you see it happening, but what you would love to see happen. Because anything is possible at this point. I don't think Cincinnati's really as good as Georgia. I don't think Cincinnati is going to compete with Alabama. I think they do against Oklahoma. I think they might be able to stick in there against Oklahoma a little bit.
Okay. I want Oklahoma out because Oklahoma always gets in and then they get boat raced. So get out of there. I don't want Oklahoma in there.
Okay.
Gone. Alabama's in because Alabama's really good. And I know they lost to Texas A&M, but Alabama's good. And I know it annoys all of us, but look, they've got the most talent out there. Alabama needs to be in. Georgia needs to be in.
So two SEC teams.
Two SEC teams. Cincinnati needs to be there right now. And then I'm just going to sit back and wait to see who wins in that final game of the year between Ohio State and Michigan. And that'll be my fourth.
Which we know who's going to win.
So Ohio State always beats Michigan. And I know Harbaugh's loving life at 6-0, but
he's incapable of beating Ohio State.
Yes. That's one thing he's never been able to do. So that's my top four. And I know you OU fans out there, all five of you living here in Utah. Like, no, every time you get invited to the party and every time you end up just being drunk on the couch and nobody likes you.
Like, same with Notre Dame.
You're embarrassing yourself. Notre Dame the same. And I'm glad Notre Dame lost because I hate it when they're there because they just get blown out. So Oklahoma, no, you can't come to the party. Get out. Nobody likes you.
Okay, so you've set your four game. Let's say Georgia's your one seed. Let's say Cincinnati's your two seed. Let's say Ohio State and Alabama are your three and four. So you got Alabama, Cincinnati game one, Georgia, Ohio State.
How about, Cincinnati, congratulations, you're in the playoff. Oh, you get Alabama.
Yeah, and then you'd have Georgia, Ohio State game two. How would you like to see that play out?
I would love to see Cincinnati beat Alabama, and I would love to see Georgia win.
Okay, so now you've like got yourself Georgia-Cincinnati final.
Yeah.
What would you like to see?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm a G5 guy, man. Let's turn this thing upside down. Let's go Cincinnati.
I know we're going to have two teams here in the state in the Power Fives here in 2 years. BYU goes into the Big 12, and things will probably change a little bit, but I love Group of Five teams. Have a huge place in my heart for them. Played against the majority of them in my college playing career. Played against quite a few Power 5 teams too, but at the time that wasn't as much separation with Power 5, Group of 5 in the late 90s, early 2000s. The divide has definitely grown larger since I played the game. But it would be so beautiful and so refreshing and so exciting if Cincinnati found a way to do this. They won't.
No, they won't.
They'll lose by 20 in the first round to Alabama.
Yeah, they will. Okay, but let me ask you this. Now it's the Hans Olsen prediction, not what Hans Olsen wants, but what climb inside the collective brain of the College Football Playoff Committee. What do you think the top four looks like? Assuming Cincinnati goes undefeated.
Well, assuming Cincinnati goes undefeated, the way I see it looking, I believe that Oklahoma is going to go undefeated.
Yep.
They got to beat Oklahoma State at the end of the year. That's really going to be their only challenge. They do have Baylor in there, but I think that Baylor's got some weaknesses that Oklahoma's going to get past. So I've got it. Georgia 1 seed, Cincinnati 2 seed, Oklahoma 3 seed, Alabama 4 seed. I don't know if Ohio State and Michigan, if Michigan remains undefeated and beats Ohio State.
Will they leapfrog Alabama? Will you keep Alabama? Okay, not you.
Because remember, Michigan, Ohio State play the final game of the year.
They always do. They always do. Tradition. All right, so let's say, let's say Alabama.
One loss Alabama beats a one loss Ohio State or one loss Michigan out in that fourth spot.
Well, and the other thing we got to take into consideration, Alabama would probably, let's say Alabama runs the table, Alabama plays, would play Georgia in a SEC championship game. So let's say Alabama beats Georgia, they're all sitting there with one loss.
You've got two SEC teams in.
Does that put Alabama in?
Yes.
Does it bump Georgia out?
No.
Okay. So then you've got an undefeated Cincinnati team. You've got an undefeated Oklahoma. And you have an undefeated Michigan.
Okay. Then you're telling me Michigan beats Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just giving you a scenario here. Michigan beats Ohio State. They're undefeated. Cincinnati runs the table. They're undefeated. Oklahoma runs the table. They're undefeated. And Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, giving those two losses. Each have one loss.
Cincinnati's in. Oklahoma's in. Alabama's in. Michigan's in. Georgia be out.
Wow.
Recency bias.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They'd look at it and say, oh, well, we've already seen that one play out, and we don't want to have that play out as a potential championship game 5 weeks later. Or what is that, 4 weeks later? After the SEC championship game?
Yeah.
Probably 4 weeks. It's like they have a week break, right? And then two games, then the championship.
Right.
So, and I think they got a week between semifinals and championship, don't they?
I think you're right. Yeah.
So I don't want to see that game replayed. So I think that they would go recency bias. I think they'd bump Georgia out. They'd go Alabama, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Michigan. And I think at that point, Michigan, if they were undefeated, Michigan probably be the 1 seed.
Woo.
If they beat Ohio State.
Yeah. They'll leapfrog because right now, they'd leapfrog Oklahoma and Cincinnati.
Absolutely they would.
Yeah.
Oklahoma has to beat Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State should be a top 10. Well, you imagine Oklahoma State should be a top 10 ranked team when they see Oklahoma.
Here's what makes me nervous, though. Is that Cincinnati, now again, we're climbing into the brain of the college football playoff committee. Cincinnati's undefeated. They beat a Notre Dame team, which isn't really good. Remember, Florida State took them into overtime. And, Notre Dame's not great this year. And they beat an Indiana team. Those are their two signature wins, a down Notre Dame team in Indiana. And then, a bunch of shoe clerks in the AAC. So
they could 100% they could do.
That's what I'm afraid of. 100% is that you've got you've got Alabama one loss, Georgia one loss, undefeated Michigan, undefeated Oklahoma. I think Cincinnati's out.
I don't.
I mean, I hope you're right, but this is
I
the,
think
this
they
is,
put them in.
This is the cynic in me saying that.
I think they put them in.
I hope you're right. I hope they put them in. But really, and again. Climb into the brain of these guys like, well, we want these TV ratings to look great,
well,
right?
Hold on.
So is Cincinnati – do we really want
hold
Cincinnati
on.
In here?
They could drop them out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. So they play Navy this week, and Navy's – I think they're a 4-3 team or a 3-3 team or something.
Not great.
Then they play Tulane. You could start to systematically drop them back down to number 3. To number 4. As Oklahoma wins, they bump into the number 2. As Michigan wins, they bump into the number 4. And you could, by week 10, when they play undefeated SMU, which is going to be their last chance to put on a show. And you better hope SMU's undefeated when they get there. You better hope you've got an undefeated SMU team.
Yeah.
That they don't have a two-game losing streak and look like crap before they get to that big matchup. You need undefeated Cincinnati, undefeated SMU, second week to the end of the season. Even then, they could be down all the way down to number five. And if they win that, maybe they jump back into four. But I could still see the committee being, after they finish the season with ECU, they could just finish and be like, we just haven't seen enough from them.
And
just haven't seen enough.
And I could justify it, too. Alabama and Georgia going through an SEC schedule.
But, Scotty, we talk about style points. They beat Temple 52-3. They beat Central Florida 56-21.
Yeah. I don't think those games matter. I think what they'll need is, as you mentioned, SMU to be undefeated, and then you need to drum turk SMU.
You got to beat them.
You need to beat them like 52-21.
Can't be biting your fingernails in the fourth quarter.
Nope. Because they'd say, well, if Alabama played Temple, they'd beat them 60-3. It's just
this is the problem, though. Are we going to wish for this and then get what we wish for and regret getting what we wish for?
Yeah, because Cincinnati will get dump trucked by Alabama in the first round. I mean, if you want the best football, you probably don't want Cincinnati there. I mean, I hate saying it, but
The mind will play funny games with you until you see Cincinnati play Alabama. And you're like, how did Cincinnati get here? Oh, that's how. They played nobody. Because you really could talk yourself into believing that they played nobody.
Yeah. But they did play. Hey, remember.
Indiana's not good.
And remember, this Cincinnati played Georgia last year in a New Year's Six game and lost 24-21. So, I mean, they played a Georgia team, which right now is number one. And I know, you know, it's apples and oranges a little bit, but it's a lot of the same players, and they were within 3 points. And remember, they had great opportunities down the stretch to win that game last year.
That makes me want to see them in that 4-team playoff, just to see it. It'd be the first group of five in the playoffs in
forever.
9 years of playoffs?
Yeah, 9, 10 years, whatever year we're in
right now. 9 years of college football playoffs this year.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. This segment brought to you in part by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned, 801-288-9376. It's 801-288-9376. You can also check them out online and book your appointment right there. Go to ZeroResSaltLake.com, or if you're up north here where we're at right now, ZeroResDavisWeber.com.
The new Zone lineup is here. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then the Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 7, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. This segment brought to you by our good friends at EliteWorks. If your website, much like the Broncos, stink, then people are going to think your business stinks. So how do you get that fixed? Well, fix your website, and EliteWorks will do it for free. A complete website rebuild for free. Just don't tell Scotty about it. Just when you call in and say, okay, the guys told me, don't tell your boss about it, but please rebuild my website, and please do it for free, and they'll take care of you.
And they will. If you need a new site, call them, 844-523-2777. If you need that free rebuild, call them, 844-523-2777. Or you can find them at EliteWorks.com, the perfect way to go about building or rebuilding that new website. Okay, can you bear with me through an analogy for just a second?
Yeah, I don't know where you're going. But
so I call you up, and I'm like, hey, Scotty, let's go. We're hitting Wendover. And you say to me, all right, buddy, well, I've only got $100. And I say to you, well, I've only got $100 too. It's all we could really get out of our account.
Okay.
So we go to Wendover. Well, you and I lose our $100 sitting at the tables, and, you know, we get a couple bad beats, and we lose our $100. And both of us are looking at each other like, oh, that sucks. But you go to the ATM, and you get $50 more, and then you come back to the table, and I'm sitting there watching you, and then you lose your $50. And I'm sitting there, I lost my $100, but in my mind, I'm like, well, at least I didn't go get another $50 out and lose that. That's how I felt about that game last night. I didn't feel good about it. I didn't feel like, you know, my Browns prediction holds any weight at all.
Oh,
I just,
fine.
But I looked at you and I thought, well, I'm glad I'm not him. That is really bad. Oh, 40 yards rushing? Really bad.
It's like when you're the kid at school getting picked on and you look at the other kid who's getting picked on more like, well, at least I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, maybe I should step in.
Like,
but that doesn't look
no,
like it's
fun. No, I don't want to. Okay, so this is where your comparison's wrong.
Okay.
Because the Browns are a really good team. They just had a lot of players injured. So at the base of your team is still a really good team, and those guys are going to come back, and you're going to be fine. Denver had players playing on their team, and they just suck, and they're just bad. So your team, even though 90% of the roster was hurt, they pulled some dude from Joe Schmuckatelli's tires, put him in at running back, and he ran for 400 yards.
D'Ernest Johnson.
You know what's interesting about that guy? Nothing until last night when all of a sudden he became Walter Payton against the Broncos defense. Denver scores a touchdown to cut it within three, and there's 5.5 minutes left. They don't get the ball back because Cleveland just mows down the field, first down.
And at one point, they get a whole new chance at life. It was like 3rd and 6. Cleveland runs for the first flag. They take it back. It's, what was it, 3rd and 9?
Yep.
And they give it to who? D'Ernest Johnson. And he rushes for 9 yards. Denver's like, dang it.
DeWalter Payton was great last night. That's what he looked like. I mean, it just.
D'Ernest Payton. I mean, the sweetness.
It was just embarrassing.
Browns fans call him sweetness.
It was just embarrassing because, it just showed a team that quit. And they just quit. They're done.
Denver's bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
I'd love to tell you different. But
no, I've been telling you all year they were bad.
Cleveland will lose to 30 other teams in the NFL if they play like that. Like, yeah. Denver was the only team that they could beat doing that right now.
Yeah, Denver's not the worst team in the NFL because they're not, you know, they're better than the Giants, they're better than the Jets, and they're better than the Jaguars. Those are the three awful teams they beat to start the season. But other than that, I don't think there's another team in the NFL they can beat right now.
Case Keenum was sure excited.
Well, yeah.
Case Keenum was fist pumping like he had anything to do with it. It's like, Case,
you took a snap and you handed off to D'Ernest Hemingway, or whatever his name is.
De'Aaron Fox. D'Ernest Hemingway.
D'Ernest Borgnine running the ball, for crying out loud.
D'Ernest goes to camp.
Lloyd Nerd, go to Bragg.
Oh, who's the most famous Ernest? Ernest Goes to Camp is the only one I know.
It might be.
Ernest P. Worley. D'Ernest P.
You remember
Worley.
Ernest Borgnine, right? The actor?
Yeah, for sure.
That's about where I begin and end with Ernest.
Yeah. Did you like Ernest Goes to Camp back in the day? I loved him. Then he got a little too silly.
Yeah. Not going to lie. I enjoyed those.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Fisher joins us next. Hands of Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.